In this fallout, Greenback needs a little help.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning. From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. The U.S. dollar is taking a beating. Not that it's been Mr. Popular lately anyway, but ever since the Federal Reserve this week announced its intent to pump more money into the American economy, commodity prices have gone up and the dollar's value down. Now a U.N. panel may recommend the dollar be ditched as the world's top reserve currency. From North Carolina Public Radio, here's Marketplace's Janet Babin.
The Fed's decision to pump $1 trillion more into the U.S. economy has other nations worried about whether the dollars they hold will drop in value. Typically, the world's central banks have about two-thirds of their cash reserves in dollars. A U.N. panel next week will recommend that the banks consider diversifying. But currency expert Mark Chandler at Brown Brothers Harriman says the U.N. has no real power over the world's central banks and what kind of cash they decide to hang on to.
Countries choose that themselves. I would say that there is no evidence whatsoever that central banks as a whole have removed one single dollar from reserves, despite people talking about this.
Chandler says countries like Russia are pulling for the U.N. to ditch the dollar because it would help them shore up their own currency. Even though the dollar may weaken a bit more, Chandler says there's no clear alternative for the world's banks to turn to. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
While there are dollar and inflation fears, it's commodity shares that are lifting stocks a bit this morning. The Dow is up about 0.75%. NASDAQ up about 0.5% at this hour. The S&P 500 in early trading up about 0.5%. Asian stocks closed lower, and European shares are up for the most part at this hour. Frankfurt, London, and Paris are trading higher. There's a crackdown looming for deceptive lending. The Federal Trade Commission is planning to bar lending practices by mortgage brokers who have deceived borrowers. Congress's spending bill passed earlier this month authorizes the FTC to ban abusive practices such as deceptive advertising. Bloomberg reports the commission's chairman, John Leibowitz, is now hoping to apply that authority to the mortgage industry. Predatory lending to minorities is one of the main issues today at a U.S. Commission on Civil Rights briefing. Ashley Milne-Tite reports.
Reports show minority home buyers, particularly African Americans, are more likely to be in foreclosure than whites. Many observers say it's because they were pushed to sign up for mortgages they couldn't afford. Jim Carr is chief operating officer of the National Community Reinvestment Coalition. He'll be at today's meeting. He wants such practices to end, and he's concerned the current spate of bank mergers could be a missed opportunity.
With this economic crisis that we've been dealing with, bank mergers have been happening left and right without public hearing. And that's the one major time when civic leaders have an opportunity to ask, are the banks doing the right thing?
By the right thing, he means lending sensibly. He says some new regulations need to go into effect quickly, or when the economy recovers, a whole new cycle of wild lending could begin. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
The Italian automaker Fiat said today it will not assume any Chrysler debt, now or in the future, in a deal for more than a third of the stake of the American car company. Not sure that Chrysler CEO Bob Nardelli got that memo on Thursday when he announced Fiat would be responsible for a share of Chrysler's debt to the U.S. government should a proposed alliance go through. Fiat's discussing trading its small car and engine technology for a 35% stake in Chrysler in a non-cash deal.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act. American Public Media presents Repossessing Virtue, fresh thinking on the moral, spiritual, and ethical aspects of the economic downturn. Gain perspective at speakingoffaith.org.
The music scene has taken over the streets of Austin, Texas. The South by Southwest Festival is going into its last weekend, one that'll feature a lot of songs and a lot of music shop talk. David Brown reports on all that for Public Radio KUT in Austin. And I guess I have to ask you, David, if this economic fallout is affecting what's going on over there.
Well, you know, South by Southwest is one of Austin's surest economic generators. It gins up about $100 million for the city in economic activity each year. With a series of three big events, music's just one part of it. There's also a film event and a fast-growing interactive conference. This year, sales of badges, the ticket to see all the music shows, they were down by an estimated 10 to 15%. But There were more bans this year. That suggests that the industry is putting more money in pushing the bands that that make the money and maybe doing less schmoozing. But more important for the festival, we're seeing sales on that interactive event up by about 30%. We don't have any final numbers, but as one headline put it here, South by Southwest appears to be rocking through the recession.
Well, a lot of record label folk there too, right, David? And downloads in the digital age have turned the industry pretty much upside down. I mean, how does that affect what I would think is an industry event like South by Southwest?
You know, it's funny. You put your finger right on it when you say industry event. Something people sometimes lose sight of because there's so much great music down here is that this isn't a festival. Really, this is a music conference. It's about exposing people in the music industry to new talent and to trends and maybe others with something to offer. It's a networking thing. For the past several years, these panel events have started with a lot of doom and gloom about the meltdown of the record industry. But what's happened on the flip side of that is it's all about DIY or do-it-yourself everything, from recording to marketing to building brands. To be a musician today, you really have to be an entrepreneur. So South by Southwest, which used to be dominated by the Suits, it's completely inverted. Nowadays, if you're a musician, you come not just to be exposed to the people who can sign you the big labels or get discovered. It's about learning how to stand out in a world where, you know, the barriers to entry on the internet are nil. So how do you make your brand pop out? How do you get heard with all those MySpace pages out there? That's what this has become. And so in a way, South by Southwest has become, I think, maybe truer to the spirit of independent music than it was when it was founded 23 years ago. These are real independents becoming entrepreneurs and making things work for themselves.
David Brown is host and editor of Texas Music Matters, the music journalism unit over at KUT in Austin. Thank you, David.
Thank you, Steve.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for being with us. Have a great Friday and a very nice weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.